Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
It's no secret that the coronavirus pandemic has re-exposed a number of equity fault lines in the country and the Commonwealth, and we're going to continue to track those here on Radio Boston. An example is the state's legal marijuana industry, which has struggled to ensure the equity that the state's cannabis law promises. With recreational pot shops opening just a few days ago on Monday, we thought it would be a good time to check in and see how the state's working to stay true to its mission and its commitment that those who were negatively affected by past marijuana policy can share in the industry profits now. So joining us to do that is Shalene Title, one of the commissioners for the state's Cannabis Control Commission. She has largely focused on the equity part of the industry in her work. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Shalene.
Thanks for having me back.
So Massachusetts closed pot shops when we went into lockdown. We were the only state with legalized marijuana to completely close the recreational marijuana industry. What factored into that decision?
Well, it was not the commission's decision, so I wouldn't speak to that. But I would say, yes, we were the only state to do that. And it was pretty devastating for the businesses who had to shut down with no notice. I think it was devastating for consumers as well. Luckily, we were able to implement a telehealth way for people to become certified as patients. So we saw a huge surge in the number of patients who registered for the medical marijuana program and were able to access cannabis that way if they needed it for medical reasons. And now, 2 months later, we are seeing the stores open up again.
So let's just comb that out a little bit. So Governor Baker argued that it was necessary to do it because with Massachusetts having legalized marijuana, if we didn't close recreational shops, there would be people coming in from all over the state and bringing the virus in. And as you referred to, medical marijuana could still be distributed curbside, but more people needed to register themselves as qualifying for medical marijuana for that to happen. So situationally, is that correct?
Well, that was the stated reason. Some of us felt that we could have restricted sales to Massachusetts residents. That might have been one way to deal with it. But in any case, they're open now, so we're looking for how we can move forward.
Okay, so now that they're open again, that just means curbside service or outside delivery of product, either through walk-up or cars. I have to believe that's going to be a lower volume for recreational marijuana shops, just like other retailers who are saying curbside isn't going to bring back the kind of volume of sales we had before. So how feasible is it for these businesses to bounce back from being shut down? Most of them are new, and to adjust to these new regulations.
Right. We're in a really uncertain environment, and all public officials and all consumers, I think, need to balance health and safety and fairness is really important, with making sure that we're encouraging the companies and allowing access and trying to help them get back to where they were before. But you're right, curbside pickup, it's probably not going to be the volume of sales or the volume of tax revenue that we saw before, but that's okay. We have to balance these things, and it is just good to see that consumers are able to go to the businesses. The businesses are operating. 44 out of 44 have submitted their operating procedures for curbside pickup to the commission. They're operating with the same hygiene protocols and social distancing as every other business. And we'll take it a day at a time. We obviously all want to see reopening happen slowly and safely, and we can always speed up when we're able.
So you know the focus of our conversation today is on equity and the desire by the law to make sure that those who were disproportionately affected by previous marijuana policy can participate and share in the profits now. In a few minutes, we'll talk to the owner of Pure Oasis, which was the first economic empowerment priority licensed shop to open. It's the only one open now, and it had to shut down 2 weeks after opening. How hard is it in the face of this new normal to ensure that those licenses will come forward, those shops will open, and will have equity as was envisioned in the law?
There's so much that needs to happen, and that needs to happen now to make sure that we don't lose the progress that we've, as you said, struggled for the past few years. And around the time that Pier Oasis was opening, a lot of people were telling me they were finally starting to feel optimistic again, because we saw a lot of the measures that we put in place at the commission, like expediting certain applications. It was starting to pay off. We were starting to see a lot of smaller businesses get provisionally licensed or just starting up. And it was a really difficult time to be shut down for 2 months, absolutely. So I think we want to focus on understanding the profound unfairness of what's happening to these equity and economic empowerment businesses in particular, because imagine getting a host community agreement, getting a bank account, finally getting through all of these obstacles and then getting shut down, and then you're not even eligible for the same relief that every other small business is eligible for because it's federally illegal. So I think that we need to be very intentional about the fact that we have an obligation as a state to encourage and include people from these harmed communities in the industry, who, by the way, are also disproportionately being harmed by COVID-19 as well. We have a lot of measures that we have to put in place to make sure that we don't lose the progress. So I can go through a number of them, but I think the most important one is just letting them reopen and start to get revenue again, just to be fair.
So before we go to Kobe Evans, I do want to back up a second to before the shutdown due to the pandemic, because we're a year and a half in since the first marijuana shop opened. And Pure Oasis is the only economic empowerment priority license that now has an open shop. The second economic empowerment shop is set to open this weekend in Haverhill, but that's only two. Mm-hmm. So how did we get to that place?
Well, we've done quite a few surveys and forums on that, and the primary answers that we get are difficulty raising capital, difficulty navigating the local approval process, and then needing help just running a business. So the last one we have addressed through our technical assistance in our social equity program. The other two, we just revamped our application process for delivery-only licenses, which are a new license type coming out this week just for social equity and economic empowerment businesses. And they can actually be pre-certified by the commission by showing that they have the propensity to run a compliant business, things like their operating procedures, preliminary background checks. And then they can take that pre-certification where you would otherwise need the connections and the privileges and the systemic privileges that people have for investment, for getting a location, for talking to the local officials. They can show they're the only groups that will have this pre-certification from the commission. So we hope that helps, but it's just going to be an ongoing process of learning what the challenges are and then trying to address them one at a time.
So I want to bring a couple voices in here. First, just briefly, here's Sia Sumora, who is the owner of Homegrown 617 LLC, which is an economic empowerment applicant business that's looking to open a retail cannabis store in Central Square, Cambridge. He's been paying rent in a space for over a year and said the city had told him he'd have an agreement last year. He's pretty frustrated and says there's no transparency why the city's taking so long to issue licenses to minority businesses.
I'm kind of really discouraged by the entire industry and a lot of the lip service that's been thrown around for social equity for so many years.
Is there any way to get cities to move faster in this new moment, or is he going to see even more frustration given the coronavirus and what it's doing to the economy?
I think that it's going to be good for cities and towns to now have had a few years to get experience with this process. I mean, maybe in the beginning, they were leaning more towards going to the bigger companies that were more prepared, more well-resourced. Now they can be more intentional about equity, and they should be. They should be contributing to the state's goals. What we've done to try to make that more helpful is to offer that pre-certification for delivery-only licenses. And if you look at someone like Haverhill STEM, which, as you mentioned, is opening this week, if you work with an economic empowerment applicant like Haverhill did, they chose a local woman-owned company, their application went straight to the front of the line because that's what economic empowerment priority is about. So I think for cities and towns, there's a lot of benefits if you decide to go that route. And of course, I and the commission are always able to provide guidance and support if they need it.
So Commissioner Shalene Title, sit tight for a minute, please. I'm going to bring another voice in here. We have Kobe Evans on the line, owner of Pure Oasis, which is a recreational marijuana shop in Boston. Hello again, Kobe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And I know you're very busy, so I appreciate you taking the time. I just want to check in. You were the first economic empowerment shop to open in the state. How have the past 2 months being shut down for you been? You'd only been open for like 2 weeks before this happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult, not just for Pure Oasis, but for, you know, our global community. I mean, we've all had to hunker down to, you know, contribute our civic obligation to try and flatten the curve. So it's not just us, but it's been difficult, you know, but we're in a much different position. I think that, as Commissioner Title was saying, you know, we are in a unique situation where at least we were open and, you know, we made some traction. Versus if you were another economic empowerment applicant that was still in the pipeline waiting for a host agreement, and all of a sudden now you are that much more delayed as towns figure out how to, you know, conduct remote operations. It could be very devastating to other companies. But fortunately, you know, we just have to restart operation versus, you know, adding time to our waiting period to try and get a host agreement.
Kobe, put it in perspective for us. What kind of lost revenue does 2 months mean for Pure Oasis?
I mean, it's considerable, you know, but there's a lot of, you know, we take considerable consolation in the fact that our staff is healthy and that, you know, no one was admitted to a hospital or lost loved ones. You know, there's no price that we can put on the fact that we didn't have our staff on the front line, you know. So, yes, there is a considerable amount of revenue, but we take consolation in the fact that our staff was able to come back 100% and everyone is excited to get back to work.
And just briefly, what would you like to see the state doing to help those aspiring to run a business like yours as we find our way to some new normal here?
I mean, unfortunately, based on the damage that was done, you just have to find some way to a faster route navigating through the host community agreement process. You know, like your previous contributor has indicated, we have a shop in Medford and potential shop, and we've been paying rent there for a year and a half. And for the better part of a year, there's been absolutely no movement in Medford. And as of this year, they're just trying to get some sort of licensing process together. But you know, it could be a whole 2 years before we see anything happen in Medford. And that creates a hardship for companies like ours.
Well, Kobe Evans, owner of Pure Oasis, I know that you are very busy. I appreciate you taking a couple minutes to talk with us today. Thanks.
Thank you.
So turning back to Cannabis Control Commissioner Shalene Title, let me just begin by inviting your response to what you heard from Kobe there.
I think he's absolutely right. I really appreciate that Pure Oasis is embodying the concept of economic empowerment. They are hiring people from the community. They're giving back. I think we want to see a lot more companies like that open because it's a win-win for everybody. And that's a big part of the reason why we have set aside all of the delivery licenses for the first 2 years for equity and economic empowerment, because it can be a win-win for everybody. People can stay home, stay safe, and get delivery of the product while supporting economic justice at the same time.
And you're opening for delivery license applications tomorrow, is that correct?
Yes.
And just spell that out a little further. Why do you see such potential for equity, for furthering the equity objectives of the cannabis law through delivery licenses?
So I think we can take everything that we've learned over the first few years when there was such a slow amount of progress for our equity efforts. We can take those lessons and implement them into this new round of licenses for delivery only. First, it's a much lower capital requirement for licenses. We basically just need a vehicle and to be compliant with security requirements. We also have the opportunity to show municipalities that if you host a delivery-only company in your city or town, you're not going to have the consumers there. You're not going to have the products necessarily being there. And you can support economic justice at the same time. And then we also have our equity program where we can guide the business owners or the workers who are receiving skills-based training to get the skills that they need to get a license and to run a successful business. So it's really just taking everything we learned in the first few years and then implementing that and then just continuing to see what happens on the ground. Because, of course, we're in very uncertain times. We have no idea what this rollout is going to look like for the delivery applications. But the more we stay on top of it and the more we stay flexible to address the issues, the better of a chance we'll have to be successful.
Shalene, your term on the commission ends in August. Are you going to stay on?
I have not decided yet.
All right. That is Shalene Teitel, one of the commissioners for the state's Cannabis Control Commission, who was largely focused on the equity part of the industry during her tenure there. Shalene, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.